Greatest country in the world.
Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose their goddamn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're gonna tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium!
Australia!
So, 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. One of them is, there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you, nonetheless, are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I don't know either.
Sure used to be. You stood up for what was right. Fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chests. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured disease, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars. Acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election. We didn't care so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore. Enough?
All right, you're listening to A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America.
America!
America!
And I am your jittery, crack-fiending host, Common Cal.
That's right, Common Cal has quit the tobacco train. He has jumped that ship. He has gotten off of that wagon. He has rode a new horse.
I'm telling you, dude, it's only my first day, and my brain inside is going, ah!
Gimme. Well, we all should be congratulating him, and I apologize to our listeners that I will not be able to chat with you tonight. There seems to be something wrong with my wife's computer. So I will not be able to chat with you tonight, but Cal and Loki will be there to keep you company in the chat room. So make sure that you give them a hard time to talk bad about me, because now I can't comment back. So you got a chance right here, right now. Now keep in mind, you're listening to us right here at www.wakeupinamerica.com. That dropped the A in front of America, and you found us. And you're also listening to us on Coffee Party USA, as well as Journalist Revolution, jrabradio.com. You also listen to us over there as well. Well, Cal, welcome back. We missed you last week.
I know. And I don't know if I can deal with people tonight either. I'm just... dude, I'm serious as hell, man. I'm like... It's a combination between being completely lost and... feeling like a hamster that just down an 8-ball of meth and crack mixed.
Yeah, pretty soon you're going to be sweating, itching, scratching.
I'm already
begging
itching.
For all kinds of, you know, you're going to be offering all kinds of favors just for a whiff of a cigarette.
It's like I can't sit still.
Don't go to the chocolate. Avoid the chocolate, okay?
Yeah, because I've already, you know, I went from a 40 to a 35 waist, and now I'm going to decide to quit smoking, so I'm going to go back up to like a 65.
That's okay. That's all right. It's a comfortable. It's a comfortable size. It's a manly size right there. That's a wood chopper's size right there. That's somebody that goes out and chops wood for a living right there. Well, yeah, you know, we've had a lot that's happened. You know, we've had a couple of more debates. We've had, you know, the Iowa caucus has come through. Well, you know,
hold on. You cannot call those debates.
We've had those pony shows. How about that?
There you go. The dog and pony shows coming to town.
The dog and pony shows, which the media likes to call debates. That's right.
Oh.
We had the final, presidential address to the nation. You know, he was out there swaggering. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. We've had, of course, our it's like peanut butter and chocolate. They could go so well together, you know? Mm. You know, and now we have Trump and Palin. That's like peanut butter and chocolate, you know? That's peanut butter and chocolate right there. It doesn't get any sweeter than that. Yeah, we've got Palin endorsing Trump. We know this from last week. And, so we're gonna dive into this right here. And we're going to be talking about, you know, I mean, of course, it doesn't matter. Those of us that know us, that listen to the show, they know that we really don't see any difference between a Republican or a Democrat.
No.
We don't really see a difference. They're the left and right wing of the same dirty bird. Okay, but in this dog and pony show that they're doing for everybody, there is difference. There's stark differences. And as everybody knows that's listened to the show, Cal and I have a gentleman's bet that he believes that Trump will win. And I, on the other hand, think that he is only allowed in this race simply for one reason only, to alienate the Republicans so badly that everybody rushes to the polls to sweep Hillary in, and the Iowa caucuses proved, or at least is another step to proving me right and him wrong. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But I do want to talk about somebody that did win in the Iowa caucuses on the Republican side, okay? Now, for months, the presidential campaign has been all about Donald, right? It's all about Donald. But deep down, we all really know, except for Cal and all his Trumpeters, they all know that he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell, right? So we will actually be looking back on 2015 as a racist, spray-tanned pit stop on a very long campaign trail. Now, the probability of him, of course, making president is slim to none. But there is one guy who's saying essentially the same things, only he actually has a shot at winning. Now, he prefers to protect Christian refugees, uh-huh. And he was quoted as saying, "What I am saying is Syrian Muslim refugees should be resettled into Middle East in majority Muslim countries." Mm-hmm. He also has similar immigration plans. Mm-hmm. Quote, "We will build a wall, and I'll get Donald Trump to pay for it."
Mm-hmm.
And just like Donald Trump, he loves Donald Trump. Quote, uh-huh. "I like Donald Trump. I like and respect Donald Trump. I like Donald Trump. He's a friend of mine." Now, of course, we're talking about Ted Cruz, the Count from Sesame Street.
One! The Cruz missile himself.
Two! That's who we're talking about. We're talking about Ted Cruz here. Now, he's actually kind of a Diet Trump.
No, I call him the Cruz missile because he's going to crash and burn, explode, and take out half the United States.
Except for the fact that he won the majority of the delegates in Iowa.
No, that's what I mean. He's going to crash, burn, explode, and take out half the United States.
Except for the fact that just like the soda version, diet version will still kill you.
Yeah.
Now the big difference is that Trump only hopes to enact his retrograde policy, whereas Cruz has already been pushing them in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Every chance he gets. Now, as a freshman Texas senator, he has blocked more legislation than he's actually passed. He has stopped talks on gun control. He has stopped immigration reform. He's threatened to shut down the government over Planned Parenthood funding. And once even filibustered for 21 hours to defund Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
Obamacare. I really don't like calling it that, really, because, I mean, they all are a part of that, so it's the health care.
Right.
Now, on climate change, he was quoted to say, in the last 15 years, there's been no recorded warming. but he's way too conservative for the right for the right wing, right? For that nomination.
Right.
But not if he plays, and this is where I disagree with you, buddy, not if he plays the delegates game, which has been his plan all along. See, because in order to get the nomination, you have to have half of the Republican delegates to represent you at the Republican convention this July, which means he has to have 2,470 delegates,
yep.
Okay?
Yep.
All right? Candidates get delegate supports by doing well in the primaries, for example. Now, for most of the states, those that hold the primaries early, you will win delegates proportionate to how much of the vote you get.
Right.
All
right?
So, this is for those that don't know. For example, if Cruz wins just 20% of the primary vote in his home state of Texas, for example, that means it has 155 delegates. He still will get 31 delegates out of Texas. Okay, they get to go to the convention for him. That's more than all of the delegates in Iowa. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So even if he only gets 20%, see, he's playing the delegate game here, all right, which Trump is trying to get in the beginning. Because like most candidates, and like him, they tend to focus on the early states to build momentum. But he's clever.
Right.
All right, but Cruz already has campaign teams in five states that vote after March 15th. California, Nevada, Oregon, and most of those states, if you win the primary, you win all of the delegates. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he even has delegate campaigners in some small Virgin Islands and stuff. So, but the thing is, other candidates like Trump and Bush aren't looking that far ahead yet. So they're only going one at a time. Cruz even has a campaign chairman for the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Yeah, but I don't know. It's kind of, Rubio is right there with Cruz. I mean, look at the stats. Rubio's running right alongside Cruz. I don't know if I could take Rubio because, I mean, his name sounds like a Mexican wrestler. Marcus Rubio. Rubio!
The masked Avenger.
Right.
But see, here's the thing. He's even more devilishly clever, okay? Because he's admitted he's going easy on Trump and Carson in order to win over their supporters. So in the event that they fall out of the race, he'll pick up their supporters.
After the Iowa caucuses, he picked up 20% of just the evangelicals. 21% jump in just the evangelicals.
So while Cruz may be playing the down-home Texan who sounds like a child actor that's over-memorized his lines, he's always saying, if we lose our freedoms here, where do we go? But he knows exactly what he's doing. But the only problem is we wish that he had a foothold in reality.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing is that he's clever. All right, he's already planning ahead. And he's just biding his time and allow, you know, it's like that saying, you give enough rope to hang themselves, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So he's allowing Carson and Trump to say the things that could eventually harm them with delegates in the long run. So he's playing a very smart, you know, very smart race against them. You know, he's staying close to them, you know, and he's focusing ahead on all of the delegate voting states, you know, after March 15th so that he can pick up that 2470 delegate vote that he would need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's playing a very smart game, actually. So that's why I think it may be Cruz. Here's the other thing that will definitely kill Trump, all right, is the fact that more and more people are becoming aware of his wishy-washy. Now, there's one that's called The Real Trump. Play that clip for me.
Oh, wait a minute. That's not the Colbert.
No. That's maybe we'll play that one.
That was... Oh, great definition of Trump?
There you go.
That one? Okay.
No, that's not it. That's just a definition describing him, which actually we're going to play. It's not that one. It's the one I said that's called the real Trump. Click, click, click.
No, not
that one. As if I could see a screen. There. No, not that one either.
How stupid are the people of Iowa? Hillary Clinton was the worst Secretary of State in the history of the United States. Hillary Clinton, I think, is a terrific woman. I mean, I'm a little biased because I've known her for years. I think she really works hard, and I think she does a good job, and I like her.
Do you really think that you're a better moderator than I am?
No, I could never beat you. That wouldn't even be close. There would be no contest. You have done a great job, by the way, and I mean it.
I have zero respect for Megyn Kelly. I don't think she's very good at what she does. I think she's highly overrated.
He suffers from a chronic condition that impairs movement of his arms.
And now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said.
And a Vietnam veteran who spent more than 5 years in a POW camp.
He's not a war hero. He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you.
Donald, your final statement.
If Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible.
I don't remember! So it's not just the you know, we thought Biden was full of gaffes. This guy is calculated and deliberate with what he's saying. And the problem is that I think the one that you were going to play before kind of sums up exactly what I think Trump is. The one you were going to play before.
Congress likes him. Nobody likes him anywhere once they get to know him.
Okay, so No, not that one.
The one that's the real Trump.
The definition of Trump.
The definition of Trump, yeah. That's the one I want.
You know, you really got to...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Belatedly, much of America has come to realize that Donald Trump's candidacy, like his hair, may be brazen, ridiculous, and ostentatious, but is, in fact, real. Over the past year, he's insulted women, Mexicans, disabled people, Jews, the Chinese, Muslims, immigrants, and our intelligence. Not only has this done him no harm, it's actually served him very well. Now, it would be easy to dismiss the ascent of this billionaire come entertainer as an example of American showmanship on steroids. It would also be a mistake. His ascent is part of a rise in right-wing populism throughout the Western world, simply articulated in an American voice and tailored to an American audience. Most Western nations have their own Trump, a racist, xenophobic, Islamophobic demagogue appealing to a mix of nationalist nostalgia, patriotic myth, class grievance, and economic insecurity. In France, there's Marine Le Pen. In Hungary, Viktor Orban. In the Netherlands, Geert Wilders. The True Finns in Finland and UKIP in the UK, to name but a few. Now, liberal commentators describe them as a threat to democracy, but it would be more accurate to understand them as the product of democracy already in crisis. Thanks to neoliberal globalization, that system which allows capital to roam the world in search of labor that is cheap and regulations that are weak, multinational companies and big businesses have far more power than national governments. So when people lose their jobs or homes or see their wages stagnate, they look for someone to blame. Now, they can't get their hands on the bankers and financiers with the real power. Neoliberal globalization is a force without a face and a system without a center. It's everywhere until you try to find someone responsible for the mess we're in, and then it disappears. Which brings us back to Trump, Le Pen, and populists who target easily identifiable scapegoats. The Roma, immigrants, refugees, Muslims, and blame them for both the economic crisis and national insecurity. The anxieties they exploit are often well-founded. It's their responses to these anxieties that are deeply problematic. It's not low-paid migrants who were bailed out by public funds to the tune of billions and are now back to collecting huge bonuses. And it's not Syrian refugees who slashed funding for libraries, education, youth services, welfare, and tax credits. When it comes to right-wing populism, race, religion, and ethnicity all too often describe the protagonist, but it's global economics that shapes the narrative.
How militarized our police have become over the last two decades is one.
Now, you know, before we start to comment, discuss this back and forth, I just have a question for you. There's just something about the British English that when they speak, they just sound so intelligent. It's like you want to believe everything they're saying, you know, because
this guy is an overweight black guy with one gold hoop earring in his left ear, the size, he looks like he's a black pirate. But because he has an English accent, he sounds incredibly intelligent. Well, he looks like a tool. Thank you, sir.
I don't know what it is about the English accent. It's like when I hear them, it's like, oh, you know, it's like they're you know, they're so it's all proper and prim and, you know, and justifiable. But no, I mean, he brings up some good points that you know, which is something I've been saying about Trump, and this is where you and I are going to start to discuss and debate this situation here. I firmly believe that Trump is nothing but a tool, and not a tool as in like somebody would call him that, but actually just an implement, specifically to bring about Hillary as president, okay? The whole reason why she dropped out of the race in 2008 was because she was promised by the DNC to get the nomination, you know, once Obama was done with his 8 years. This was a promise if she dropped out, because if you remember when she dropped out, she wasn't losing that bad. Yes, she was still behind, but she wasn't losing that bad. So there was a promise for that. And since we both believe that the right and the left wing are the, you know, are attached to the same dirty bird.
No, I believe the right and the left wing are attached to the same dirty turd.
There you go. So, you know, when you take somebody like Donald Trump, and then you take somebody like Cruz, who is basically saying the same thing. He's just polished the turd. He's saying the same stuff that Trump is saying. He's just made it more politically correct in his verbiage in order for him not to seem too extreme, but just extreme enough for the, you know, the far right to say, he's a good replacement for Trump, okay? But at the same time, they're both still so extreme that you have your left-leaning Republicans that are just going to leave the party altogether, and they're only left with one, Hillary Clinton, because Bernie doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell.
How dare you, sir?
I'm sorry to say that, but he doesn't.
Hold on. Have you tried to burn the snow nowadays? It does not melt.
It burns. It catches on fire.
So Bernie,
I've seen that video.
Bernie's chances are getting better.
But here's the reason why I say that. During the Iowa caucus, okay, Hillary Clinton.
No, I like Clinton.
Clinton, yeah. Hillary Trump Clinton, Jr. the second, the third, won 6 out of 6 coin tosses. I want everybody to pull a coin out of your pocket right now. And I want you to flip that sucker 6 times, call it, and see if you can get 6 out of 6, okay? Because statistically, it's improbable to do that, okay? It's a 1.6% chance. So the Iowa Democratic caucus vote...
You're saying there is a chance, though.
It's improbable, not impossible, okay? But I find it a bit of a goinkydink. Because when you look at the Democratic caucus vote count, it was so close that at least 6 precincts were decided by flipping a coin. It's an obscure procedure in the Iowa caucus bylaws. And in all 6 instances, the last remaining county delegate went to Hillary Clinton. Winning 6 coin tosses in a row is extraordinarily rare and only has a 1.6% probability of occurring. Now, as journalist Ben Morton explained, that broken down by calculating is a half, 6 to the power, which is 1/64th or 1.6%. Now, if Bernie Sanders had won half of the coin flips and split the 6 counties, 3 and 3 with Clinton, he would have finished at 698-49 delegates to Clinton's 696-57, effectively giving him an Iowa victory. But according to the live map of all Iowa precincts, Clinton has a razor-thin 0.3% lead over the Vermont U.S. Senator with a 99% of precincts reporting. Okay? Now, in addition to the coin flip tiebreakers, one widely discussed controversy was a missing 60 voters. In Iowa precinct, which may have flipped the delegate count in Bernie's favor.
So you're saying Bill grabbed some of his Secret Service people and they took care of those 60 voters.
They took them out to dinner. Yeah. he went to his little not-for-profit there in Harlem.
Yeah.
And
you know, he's just looking for another Monica.
Now, oh, he's got plenty of them up there in Harlem. All now, right. Sanders is calling for a raw vote rather than a county delegate count. So he's actually calling for an actual physical count. So here you have an unprecedented, you know, use of the bylaws, for example.
No.
Of flipping the coin, if you would.
Wait, she'll probably win that too.
So, when you look at the grand picture like I am, okay, you look at what Cruz is doing, Cruz is deviously and quite calculating with his plans. In retrospect, I mean, in contrast, let me just say this. The gentleman we just listened to last was talking about how, you know, these demagogues in these Western countries are looking for distractions, because ultimately that's what they are. The Muslims did it. The Mexicans are taking all the jobs. The immigrants are taking all the jobs. The refugees are on all the welfare, sucking off the teat of our country, false patriotism, yada, 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 all this stuff. It's actually just distractions from actually us being able to actually put the blame where it belongs for our social and economic issues, which is corporations. Ironically enough, or coincidentally, or contradictory is probably the better word, contradictory to what we did, which was bailed everybody out and allowed them to make profits off that 0% interest loan money, like Bank of America, for example, who was loaned at 0% interest $4 billion during the time.
That's not fair.
I know it's not fair. That was our tax dollars, by the way. $4 billion of our dollars was loaned at 0% interest to Bank of America, one of the largest banks in this country. Within 1 year, they made $10 billion profit and paid off the $4 billion loan and made a $10 billion profit. Now, how did they do that?
Wait a minute. They're loaned $4 billion.
Right.
And in a year, they can only profit $10 billion?
Well, I mean, they spent $4 billion and made $14 billion. That's a lot of money.
Now, okay, but ROI-wise, that's not a very high percentage.
No, but you also have to look at the fact that they also shut down all loans, okay, during that time of the crisis, 2007, 2008.
Right.
They weren't loaning any money out. They reduced their interest rates on their interest-bearing accounts to 0.00-something percent. Right, so they weren't shelling out any money, so they were keeping the money that they already had. Plus, they got loan me $100,000 in interest free, and give me a year to pay it off. Okay.
Hell, loan me $4 billion and give me a year. I'll give it a better ROI. My ROI on my business is better than what they did, and I can't get the damn loan.
Well,
wait a minute here.
They invested in T-bills is what they did. Okay, they invested in T-bills.
You give me $4 billion in a year. Watch, I come back, I'll give you back $14 billion, and I keep what's left over, okay?
But he brings up an interesting thing, though. So let's look over at Iceland.
I want a cigarette.
No, you can't get one. No for you. Now, Iceland, in contrast to what we did, actually sentenced their 29th banker to prison. On top of that, they sued the bankers, forgave all the loans, all the debt for every single citizen in Iceland, and sued the banks, won the lawsuits, and gave the money to the people. So not only did the people get a loan for free, but they also got extra money, and the bankers went to jail.
Yay!
Oh. So in Iceland, while the world economy struggles to recover from its 2008 financial crisis, most of the bankers who caused the collapse are still collecting massive salaries and have faced few, if any, consequences, except for in Iceland. In one of the countries hit hardest by the collapse, 29 bankers have now been sentenced to prison for their roles in the crash. According to Stefan Simonowitz, writing for the Huffington Post as of January 5th. Just before Christmas, the former CEO of Iceland's Glitnir Bank and two other senior bankers were sentenced to jail terms of up to 5 years for market manipulation and breach of fiduciary duties.
Fiduciary.
Now, Simonowitz questioned why the United States and the United Kingdom, for example, have been far more lenient on their banks. Not a single senior banking executive in the U.S. or the U.K. has been jailed for their role in the financial crisis, whilst banks, such as the five found to be ringing the LIBOR rate, have been hit with substantial fines. The individual bankers behind the fraud, market rigging, and irresponsible lending that led to the economic meltdown have all avoided time behind bars.
I don't like spam.
In October, Alan Pike, deputy economic policy editor for Think Progress, outlined some of the ways Iceland's approach differed from that of other countries. He quoted to say, like other countries with a large financial industry presence, Iceland spent a lot of money on bailouts after the crisis, but it bailed out workaday citizens instead of bankers, forgiving mortgage debts that exceeded 110% of the actual value of the home linked to the loan. The bank, which had swarmed to the North Atlantic island after aggressive deregulation of Icelandic finance law around the turn of the century, were allowed to jail and go bankrupt. Pike cautioned that comparing Iceland and the U.S. isn't entirely fair, given the differences in population and the relative size of our economies. It's far easier for a country of 320,000 people to nationalize its banks, devalue its currency, and bounce back rapidly after a couple of years of deep economic pain, he wrote. Meanwhile, there's a reason to be concerned that other countries haven't done enough to prevent another crash. The most recent bank to pay a major fine in the U.S. was Goldman Sachs, which agreed to pay a fine of $5.1 billion. The massive international investment bank claimed to be pleased with the deal, which will reduce earnings for the fourth quarter of 2015 by approximately $1.5 billion on an after-tax basis. But for the corporation that brought in over $40 billion in 2014, that fine isn't likely to cut too deep into profits. Now, reporting on the agreement on January 15th, Shadow Proof's Dan Wright noted that banks continue to earn money whilst the rest of the population suffers. Quote, in the aftermath of the crisis Wall Street caused, the middle class has been hollowed out, with the U.S. hitting a record amount of child poverty. The perpetrators, meanwhile, have been fully restored and are beating profit expectations. What a country. End quote. Other banks... Other banks forced to pay fines without executives going to court, including Citigroup, Inc., J.P. Morgan Chase & Company, and Bank of America Corp. Wright also reported on January 11th that many of the key factors that caused the 2008 financial crash are still in place, creating the potential for a new bubble economy, as depicted in the recent popular film and book, The Big Short. Quote, prior to the 2008 crash, the credit rating agencies were given junk mortgage-backed securities, their highest ratings. This incorrect information helped distort the market and exacerbate the crisis. The rating exchanges gave the bad ratings their approval, in part because of a conflict of interest where the rating agencies are paid by those they rated. If a client did not get the rating they wanted, they would take their business elsewhere. Now the SEC is saying the rating agencies are back to their old tricks, compromising their claimed objectivity to bring in business. False confidence in these high-rated securities that are actually full of junk mortgages was a major factor which contributed to the original crash. And he concluded, apparently, we're going to run the experiment again, hope for different results. Now, what is the definition of insanity?
To do the same thing over and over and expect different results.
But that only applies to the politicians and the citizens of the United States and these other countries. That doesn't apply to the bankers. Why would the bankers change something that has made them so wealthy when there was no consequences? Because I guarantee you, no banks will be going to Iceland trying that garbage.
No. You would hear... and that would be the end of that.
That would be the end of that, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So, you know, this gentleman we were just listening to, you know, he brings up some good points, is that, and I was talking with this gentleman in my office today. He's a rep for one of the labs, and they're not paying me, so I'm not going to say who they are, but we were talking about what we're talking about right now, and he's an educated guy, has a good job, and it seems to be, extremely intelligent, through the conversations that I've had with him. But as I'm talking to him, he had no idea about this stuff. I mean, absolutely no clue about most of the stuff that we talk about on the show. And I know, Cal, you face that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
With your friends and family and customers and stuff.
Yeah.
That's, they have no idea that this stuff is going on. And this is deliberate. One guy asked me, and I respect this guy. He had probably one of the most popular radio shows on Liberty Movement Radio a few years ago. He would, he averaged, over a million listeners every single Saturday night, played live out of New York, off an FM station, I was honored to be a guest on a couple of his shows before, and he's since retired that aspect. He's moved on to other things. But he's a Facebook friend as well, and he noticed a lot of the stuff that, I post on Wake Up in America about Trump, and as well as my own page. And he asked a question. He says, why do you feed in, into promoting, somebody like Trump? Don't you know that every single time you share this stuff? And at first, I kind of agreed with him. At first, it kind of is, but I try to debate him and say, I'm a news personality. I'm not a journalist. I guess we classify ourselves as news personalities. Would you say that?
No, Cal? I told you, soothsayers.
Soothsayers, yes. We're news sayers. So, we're news sayers. And this is the topic and this is the thing, but, at the same time, I'm combating the things that he's saying, the things that he's doing, but not just him, because we equally talk about Hillary and we talk about Bernie and other things like that, because we don't like the two-party system as it is right now. You're sending me a message. Why are you? I know what a soothsayer is. You don't need to type it. I know what a soothsayer is, but I like newsayer.
No. No.
All right. Soothsayer. I don't agree. But anyway, as we're talking about this, as we debated quite feverishly back and forth, in the end, it just was a difference of opinion. But for me, it's, we talk about Trump because, he's just so easy to talk about. The guy just gives us material all the time. But he's not the only one. We're not just focused on him. We equally talk about all of them. Which with Hillary, the reason why both Cal and I think it's the left and right wing of the same dirty turd is because Hillary is not any different than the rest of them. And there's an interesting clip. I'm going to play that one.
As I say in my book, I made a mistake giving the Bush administration the authority that I voted for. It just shows you how hard it is to make these choices, which is why I'm calling the book Hard Choices. Yes, I made a mistake, and I deeply regret the consequences.
I've made it very clear that I made a mistake, plain and simple, and I have written about it in my book.
Just shows you how hard it is to make these choices. That's why I'm calling the book.
Iraq has one of the largest customer bases in the world. It has one of the world's largest supplies of oil. And so it's time for the United States to start thinking of Iraq as a business opportunity.
That's why Iraq we will blow it up and take it over.
To grow faster than China in the next 2 years. Now, I'm very excited about what's possible, and I'm very hopeful about the future. Let me start with Dr. Ray Irani, whose company, Occidental Petroleum, was one of two American oil companies that won bids last year to rehabilitate Iraq's largest oil fields. And, you know, Dr. Irani, I would very much...
And for our support for the president's efforts to wage America's war against terrorists and weapons of mass destruction.
The Iraqi regime possesses biological and chemical weapons.
Saddam Hussein's chemical and biological weapons.
The regime is seeking a nuclear bomb.
And his nuclear program.
The Iraqi regime is building the facilities necessary to make more biological and chemical weapons.
Saddam Hussein has worked to rebuild his chemical and biological weapons stock.
And continuing ties to terrorist organizations.
He has also given aid, comfort, and sanctuary to terrorists.
And there are Al-Qaeda terrorists inside Iraq.
Including Al-Qaeda members.
Saddam has resumed his efforts to acquire nuclear weapons.
His missile delivery capability and his nuclear program.
There is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Now this much is undisputed. Saddam Hussein's biological and chemical weapons.
He can provide one of his hidden weapons to terrorists.
And to give what he can't use to terrorists, to use weapons of mass destruction, keep trying to develop nuclear weapons.
That Iraq has weapons of mass destruction.
Now this much is undisputed.
We know where they are. They're in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad.
Chemical, biological, or, God forbid, nuclear weapons.
We believe he has, in fact, reconstituted nuclear weapons.
Saddam Hussein will continue to increase his capacity to wage biological and chemical warfare. President Bush's speech in Cincinnati have made my vote easier. I will take the president at his word. Any vote that might lead to war should be hard. But I cast it with conviction. I cast it with conviction. I cast it with conviction. I cast it with conviction.
Is there any further discussion?
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, so listening to this goes all the way back to her Senate, when she was a Senate, as well as when she was the Secretary of State.
Uh-huh.
So this goes all the way back to where she's warmongering. She's in the pockets of corporations and as well as the oil and...
Listen to her laugh. She's freaking Satan.
So, you know... I posted that video right there. We just played on my Facebook because one of the concerns I have, because, you know, on the show, we do talk about politics. We also talk about religion as well. And one of the things within the Muslim community is that, man, they just keep falling for the Democratic Party.
A lot of it is to make just, these choices. That's why I'm calling the book.
You hear that laugh?
He just found a new button. You know, just as the black community in this country does the same thing, they continue to fall for the Democrats, rouge, their illusion that they give that they're for us. But as we can see with her 0.03% lead over Bernie Sanders, and if you think that Bernie Sanders, for all you Bernie Sanders fans that are out there saying, oh, but that's Hillary. Yeah, I agree with you on Hillary, but Bernie's different. Bernie's not different. Bernie's the exact same. He's just worse as far as in some of his policies that he wants to enact, which is going to tax us, which we're already overtaxed, even more. But his policies, a foreign policy, as far as the amount of money that goes out of this country to these other countries, is not going to change. He has been, fervent about that. He's been adamant about the fact of his support for continuing to fund Israel, which, according to... I think he's deceased now. Trunkfat. What was his name? Trunkfat, the ex-congressman. He said that while he was in there, that basically every piece of legislation that came by had to be ran through AIPAC first, and that whenever Israel wanted money, that it had to be given to them. You know, this is something that Trunkfat. I'm probably saying his name wrong there, but you guys know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, sure.
One of the things he was saying, what do you want, people? Stop it.
I didn't do it.
Yes, that's exactly right, Loki. Hillary is the status quo, Wall Street owned, helping to sell the lie. No, and so is Bernie, to be quite honest with you. Now, Jill Stein, who we've had the pleasure of having on this show, and she is actually, I'm working with her right now to get her to come back, and I'm hoping within the next month or so, she'll be on them. Well, this happens to be somebody that is a bit different. Her platform is a lot different now. Jill Stein, about her platform, she came away believing they had a better chance of winning than Bernie Sanders, and know that the platforms don't run, people do. And they do so within a two-party dominated system. But this already crazy presidential election could turn into crazier five-way race. And even if it doesn't, or if it does, but still nobody ever learns that Jill Stein still exists. There is nonetheless much for us and for the other candidates to learn from her platform. Now, if you think her free college is popular, you should see what young people think of free college and erasing all existent student debt. If single-payer health care with raised taxes but net savings if you make it to the fine print excites voters, how do you think they'd respond to a single-payer health care with no raised taxes? If fewer wars and asking Saudi to do more of the funding and fighting sounds promising, what would you say to no more wars, a 50% cut in the $1 trillion a year military spending, no more weapon sales to Saudi or other nations, which is doing more than enough killing, no more free weapons for Israel either, an investment of some of the savings in massive green energy jobs campaign producing a sustainable energy policy, and a full employment economy. Now, Senator Bernie Sanders' domestic proposals have got millions excited, but the unfair and misleading criticism that he'll raise taxes may be a tragic flaw, and it's one he opens himself up to by refusing to say that he'll cut the military. Now, Stein would cut at least half of the single biggest item in a discretionary budget, an item that takes up at least half of that budget, military spending. She'd cut fossil fuel subsidies as well and expect savings to come from health care, including as the result of cutting pollution and improving food quality. But the big immediate item is the military. Cutting it is popular with voters, but not with Democratic or Republican presidential candidates. Sanders will be labeled the tax man by the corporate media, while Jill Stein will have to be attacked in different ways if she even gets mentioned. So cutting the military budget is something that we can do right now, Stein said. But we want to be clear that we are putting an end to wars for oil, period. And that is a part of our core policy of Green New Deal, which creates an emergency program establishing 20 million living wage jobs, full-time jobs, to green the economy, our energy, food, and transportation systems, building critical infrastructures, restoring ecosystems, etc. Now, a lot of people, even myself, when we had her on the show, you know, some of the green policies I wasn't too excited about, but how many of us have watched a sci-fi movie and we've seen, you know, all of these futuristic things with, you know, with how water is cleaned and how the air is cleaned and terraformed other planets and they're able to fly and, you know, in deep space, and we see all these great things. Well, we can't do it if we continue. We can't do anything like that, even on this planet itself. You know, if we continue, you know, I would like to see her policy, her platform, to be more carrot and less stick, if you would. You know that you have the stick and the carrot routine?
Yep.
I'd like to see more carrot. So for businesses like Cows, which is already green, but for businesses like Cows that's not green...
Oh, I did just also buy a used oil furnace.
Yeah, see, you told me about that. Yeah, so instead of, you know, having to pay for that used oil to be taken off and God knows what they do with it, dump it, bury it, whatever they do with it, instead he's taking the used oil that he takes out of the engine to put new oil in, and he's using it to heat his bays instead, you know. So instead of the stick where it says, if you don't do this, we're going to send men with guns to your house or your business and we're going to take these things from you, but instead they say, you know what, Cal? You have a mechanic shop, a body shop, a paint shop. You provide a service to the community for people's cars.
Yep.
And you help people to be able to restore their cars so that they're not just trading their cars and buying new ones, wearing that one out and getting another one, and wearing that one out and getting another one. Therefore, helping to increase in our steel
consumption,
dependency, consumption, and our dependency, you know, and different things like that. But at the same time, you're also greening your project. So instead, we're going to give you tax breaks because you're doing that. You know, that's something I'd like to see from her platform a bit more, to be honest with you.
Right. You know, because I'm working my ass off. And in the dirtiest industry in the world, where there's nothing usually but waste, and turning it around to be green efficient, to leave a lower carbon footprint,
yeah,
and show that this industry can be completely recyclable to the point where really the only garbage I have is pretty much our normal people waste, you know, like our lunch, our lunch stuff. And,
Or notes or whatever you might write on a scrap of paper.
Exactly. You know, so all in all.
So this emergency program that will get to 100% renewable energy by 2030, that means in our lifetimes, hopefully. So this is a wartime-level mobilization in order to completely detoxify our energy system, and that means both nuclear and fossil fuel. In doing that, we deprive the empire of its major justification for wars and bases all around the world. So we want to be clear that the emphasis is gone and goading the American public into war so as to feed our fossil fuel energy system. That ends and makes all the more essential and possible the major cutting of military spending, which 50% of the military would Stein cut. Two places she named that she would start with, there would have to be much more. Our foreign bases, she'd close them, and the U.S. nuclear weapons program. Would she unilaterally scrap U.S. nukes? She was asked, and she said, "We don't even need to do it unilaterally," Stein said, "because the Russians have been begging to revive the process of nuclear disarmament with the U.S. in its wisdom undercut. The Russians have been persistently trying to restore the nuclear talks for the purpose of disarmament, and that would be step one, is to make major reductions between the U.S. and Russia, and then to convey a world forum to put an end to nuclear weapons altogether. Now, the war on terror, Stein pointed out, has only created more terror while costing each U.S. household $75,000. That's not going to make people terribly enthusiastic for it, particularly when you point out that all of this is done to create failed states, worst terrorist threats, whether you look at the Taliban, the globalization of Al-Qaeda, the creation of ISIS. This has been an utter, unmitigated disaster. And the massive refugee crisis, which is threatening to tear apart the European Union, that is absolutely unsustainable by any count. Now, to change U.S. foreign policy, Stein proposed financial reforms unheard of in any presidential debate thus far. She suggested that military and other government contractors should face pay-to-play protections, preventing them from buying their way into policy, Stein explained. If you establish that anyone who contributes, who provides campaign contribution, or who lobbies is not eligible for contracting with the government, the minute you break that umbilical cord, then the industry loses its power to corral Congress to dictate foreign policy. Stein said such protections could also block U.S. government facilitation of weapons sales to foreign buyers. War profiteering should not be allowed, Stein explained, in the same way that energy profiteering is not compatible with our survival. Ultimately, the big profits, she said, are in health care. We spend $1 trillion plus on the military-industrial complex every year, but we spend $3 trillion counting every year on the sick care system, which doesn't make us well. It just enables us to tread water while we cope with the disastrous health impacts of the war and economy and the fossil fuel economy. Stein did not hesitate to highlight. Well, actually, I want to add something. I saw something interesting. You know your buddy, the guy you like to party with, what's his name? Charlie Sheen, right?
Nah, I quit partying with him, man.
Yeah, well, it's good because, you know, he had HIV.
Had, as in past tense, he's still alive.
Yes, that's correct. And I did that on purpose. I used the past tense because something that we were debating amongst us providers there at work today, I was studying on an interesting doctor by the name of Samir Chikoa. Mm-hmm. And in the 1990s, he actually created a cure for HIV in the 1990s, that the Johns Hopkins University actually recreated his, after he wrote a paper to them, recreated his studies and found it to be true, and even published them under his name, under Johns Hopkins' names as the originators of it, at which point he turned around and sued them and won a $10 million lawsuit against Johns Hopkins because they tried to steal his cure. And shortly after that, they buried it and started to say that he was a quack, okay? Now, how he did this was, is that he noticed that there was, and I can't pronounce the name of the country in South America, but there was a South American country that had a high IV drug use as well as high promiscuity amongst the population, but yet had zero HIV-infected people. So he went down there and spent several years trying to figure out what were they eating? What were they doing? What was prohibiting, you know, this virus from infecting them? What he found was that they drank a lot of goat's milk, and there was a rare disease, a rare virus that infected the goat's milk, but did not infect the human, did not harm the human. But what this virus did is, because typically with the virus, one virus can go into your body, and if another virus comes in, and it they don't like to share.
Right.
Okay.
One attacks the other.
Exactly. And this other one that comes from the goat's milk is stronger than the HIV, so it was able to actually to take it out. So he took that, took the RNA and the DNA, and he created a vaccine from it. And in fact, there was one African country that had 68% of its population, you know, infected with HIV. And as of a month ago, they've been implementing over the last decade this vaccine, and not one person in this country has HIV anymore.
Hmm.
It went from 68% infection rate to zero, okay? And this is all verifiable. Now, what's interesting is that when he presented these findings to Johns Hopkins, Johns Hopkins, of course, recreated the tests and recreated the, you know, the studies and found it to be true, posted, wrote up an article in the medical journal about it. This was in 1991. But then was trying to claim that they had created the cure for AIDS. But then when he sued them and won, they buried it. Yes, I know. We're coming up on the break time. We'll come back to this. I just looked at the time. Same time I got the message. You're listening to A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America. I'm your host, Issa, and this is Cal.
Hi.
Give me a cigarette. On this train of insanity.
Can I bum a smoke?
Yeah, and you're listening to us on our website here, www.wakeupinamerica, drop the A in front of America.com, and you found us, as well as Coffee Porter USA and J-Web Radio. So take us to the commercials. Let's pay some bills. 2-2.
Is it possible for an American Muslim and an Irish Catholic to agree on anything? Issa Hajj and Common Cow go head-to-head every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on their show, A Muslim and a Catholic, Wake Up in America.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
Horror stories belong around the campfire, not in the garage. Avoid your own automotive horror stories by making an appointment for scheduled maintenance or other necessary services with RC Auto Care. Whether you are fully restoring a classic, building a street rod, wanting a race car, or just needing maintenance completed on your mom-mobile, call RC Auto Care today at 269-762-7358. And let Cal or any of our other highly skilled professionals turn your horror story into a happy ending. RC Auto Care. We make dreams come true.
Always turns in the fastest time.
Giddy up, 409.
My four-speed dual quad positive traction, 409.
409. Nothing can catch her, nothing can touch my 409.
Okay, I chose tonight's song because of our political climate coming, and what's basically I foresee in my soothsayerness to be our future.
Tokyo City.
your best shot. I'll take your best shot. I'll take your best shot.
On the mark, get set. We're riding on the internet. Cyberspace, set free. Virtuality, interactive appetite. Searching for a website, a window to the world. Got to get online. Take a spin, now you're in with the techno set. You're going surfing on the internet.
You're an activist. You have a cause and an idea. But you also have lots of questions. You need help. After all, teams have coaches, corporations have consultants, and even politicians have campaign managers. But who do activists turn to? The Solutions Institute. We are a collection of professionals and activists from across the political spectrum. Our goal is to teach, motivate, and put all the necessary tools for activism in your hands without charge. Learn more or submit your project at solutions-institute.org.
All right, welcome back to A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America.
America,
this is your host, Issa.
And I am your ever-fidgety, crack-fiend, meth addict.
Now, keep in mind, you are listening to us at Coffee Party USA and J-Rev Radio Plus right here on our website, www.wakeupinamerica, drop the A in front of America.com, and you'll be right there with us. Hopefully you're there chatting with us. I cannot see you tonight, guys. I truly apologize. But real quick there, buddy, before we go back into this revelation, this thing I was talking about. Where'd you go there? You didn't go puff-puff, did you?
No, I went pee-pee.
Went pee-pee. Okay, it's better than puff-puff. All right, good. Glad to hear it. So, anyways, where we left off was this Dr. Sameer Kokakis. One of the interesting things about it is that he actually took Charlie Sheen, who was found to be HIV positive, on his treatment. Now, this is a retrovirus. This is not anything new. We've been hearing about this in the media as well. But this guy kind of invented retrovirus, or at least perfected it, to the point that not only is he able to cure HIV with this, but he's actually been able to cure a lot of other things like some forms of cancer and different things like that.
I'm on my way.
All right. So, but here's the thing. Dr. Oz, now normally, you know, we don't talk about celebrities and things of that nature. Normally, we don't talk about this stuff. But this one here is kind of important in a sense, because it's also geopolitical. It kind of goes along the lines of kind of what Jill Stein is talking about as far as her platform is concerned with healthcare and things of this nature, that we don't actually cure. And this is the saddest thing that I deal with within my profession is, you know, is that unfortunately the tools that are provided for us by the CDC and FDA and pharmaceutical companies and things of this nature do not actually cure. They actually just sustain your life. But cures is not in Western medicine anymore. It's not there. And ironically, I actually have an old medical journal from the 1800s that was somehow miraculously passed down to me from my family, though there's no other people in my family that's in the medical field. I'm the first. But in there, it actually talks about actual cures. It doesn't
Wait a minute. Was any of your family barbers in the 1800s? Because that would have been...
No, they would have been in England.
Oh.
My family's from England, so... but anyways, I'm an anchor baby. I'm an anchor baby. So anyways, the interesting thing is that he took Charlie Sheen and took him on this and gave him the treatment and then took all the tests to show that he was HIV negative. To the point, now, Cal, I'm about to make you sit back in your seat here, that he recorded this for posterity, all right? He actually, on camera, drew blood out of Charlie Sheen and then, without any editing or cutting, injected that blood into himself and then put himself under the rigors of the tests, okay? Now, this was all brought up, ironically, on Dr. Oz's show. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but anyways. And a lot of the studies that they were showing that he was negative was from his studies, not from anything that they've done subsequently, okay? This is all from his studies. Now, we're talking about this in the office, right, Cal? Mm. And my partner, Dr. Lee, she was a little upset. She says, you need to tell me that there's actually doctors out there that would purposefully hide a treatment, that there are evil doctors out there. And I had to politely remind her of Tuskegee. We're all familiar with Tuskegee.
Yeah.
When the United States government, through the use of doctors, infected, you know, African-American airmen in Tuskegee, Alabama, with syphilis, knowing that we had the cure, but simply not telling them and observing the effects of syphilis as it ravaged the brain and the body. And I remind her of a few other ones. That yes, it is in fact possible, particularly when we know that the FDA has been, you know, putting out information proving that cannabis oil can actually cure without any of the nasty side effects that chemo comes with, a lot of different forms of cancer. Okay, that they've actually been putting out their own work that they've actually been doing since the 1960s. Okay, so a lot of this stuff comes out. So this is kind of a little tidbit on kind of what she's talking about. All right, what happened here? I've lost my page. That sucks. What happened? Ooh. I don't know what happened while I was gone.
I was pushing your buttons, sir.
What are you doing pushing my buttons for? What's wrong with you?
I need something to do because I don't have a cigarette.
Okay. That's not fair.
You're right. It's not fair. Cigarettes shouldn't give you like bad diseases.
Well, that just because that was a great article that I was reading right there, and I just do not have it anymore.
That's what the bookmark is for, sir.
Well, I understand that, but I didn't think I would walk away during our break. Let me find this because I really want to finish this article because I want our listeners to hear the platform of Jill Stein that mainstream media is not going to put out there. So if you would, I sent you a what do you want, Loki? NSA is the finest?
At its finest,
yes. That's probably what it was. Hey, I heard something funny earlier today, and I just sent that to you. And I think it pretty much sums up what we're looking at with all these candidates. And interesting enough, Jill Stein is actually not in that. So can you do me a favor? Can you go ahead and cue that and go ahead and play that for comedy's sake while I find this article?
Well, you'll have to give me about 1-0.
You are now about to witness the strength of big lobbies.
Straight out of options, a crazy motherfucker named Ted Cruz. Born in Canada with a bad attitude. Add a cook off, I'll bring a sword off. Squeeze the trigger and bacon is hauled off.
Guess who, boy, it's Chris Christie. Shut your bridge down if you fuck with me. Heart attack, that's how I'm going down. Not your punk-ass dead fella showing now.
Carson, here I mumble, because I'm humbled. I swear I stabbed a guy in a shiny belt buckle. Going off on my motherfucking like that. With a hammer, don't look into my past.
Fiorina on the moon. Ain't ever come upon a job that I can't lose. A CEO who's now freelancing. Had some problems with corporate financing. HP Inkjet was the plan. $100 million made selling to Iran.
Jeb Bush losing hope, no maybe. I'm losing ground in the polls daily. And weekly, monthly, and yearly. I hope the Koch brothers will see clearly that I'm down with the capital GOP. Boy, you can't fuck with me. My brother was president. That's bad luck. Cause when he left, the economy sucked. Fly the sign. Mission accomplished. The Bush is back, boy. You're running straight out of options. Options. Options.
Yo, Rubio.
What's up?
Tell him why you run.
Straight out of options, another crazy ass mogul. I'm in the news more than Jared Fogle. I'm the best businessman, and you know this. Though the bankruptcy courts won't show this, but I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna say my thoughts. Don't care if it offends Mexicans abroad. You are mean to me. The best solution is a wall, and I can get Mexico to pay it all. All the polls around me show I'm winning. I say another crazy thing, I go up in it. So if you're moderating at a debate, I will call you a loser for bleeding out your face. The Muslims are bad, and I won't let them come through. Sure, my facts are wrong, but who needs truth? I'm really done with being so PC. It's not too late to make America great. Donald Trump is not one to roll over. Give me a nuclear bomb, it's game over.
Yo, it's my time to be the prez herself, cause I waited 8 years in my personal hell. Security is minimum, no firewall. H-I-L spells evil scandal. See, because I'll say whatever's pulling. The numbers are clear, to the White House I'll be rolling. And making Bill my number two. I still can't seem to connect with you. Wall Street donations fund my trips, because they know that I'm down with the establishment. Straight out of options, 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 options.
30 is his name and you're all running.
Straight out of options is a brother that'll cover your mother and help the system to recover. Dangerous, tax evader billionaires. And when the banks get caught, they get bailed. See, I don't give a fuck about dollars. I see a motherfucking comb, I don't bother. But I'm smart, crowdsource, I don't lie. People are worried, I might die. Raising lots of money, breaking records, showing movement rising. No more Citizens United bank rolling. So what about the banks who got bailed? We fight it. You think I give a damn about bankers that get indicted? This is the autobiography of Bernie. And if you want to vote for me, you'll be siding with the grumpy old grandpa yelling brother. Last hope, motherfucker. Straight out of options.
Straight out of options. I started bobbing your head over there. You know it was funny. You know it was funny. Come on, Cal. That was funny.
You went full retard, man. You go full retard.
You know what's funny is after Ted Cruz's Iowa caucus win, you know he said, you know he was quoted to say, right? He said, "To God goes the glory." So I was thinking about that. That's just the Republicans' way of saying Allahu Akbar. So I guess I'm not getting any help on the co-host over there part. I don't want you typing. Say it. Shut up and say it. Don't be scared.
Come on. He was telling me that I forgot to turn my mic back on.
Oh, I kind of thought it was a little quiet over there. I thought you would have been jumping all over all of that.
I was, and now it's gone, and I missed it because my mic was off.
Oh, yes. That means I got to listen to it. Nice.
Hey, bro. You got a smoke you can bum me?
Yeah, that's not happening. No, I'm sorry, that's not happening. And unfortunately, I have not been able to find
Here. Okay, I can actually pile on top of that with my whole quitting smoking thing. You know, because everybody wonders why, you know, if cigarettes are more addictive than marijuana and alcohol combined, why they're legal. Well, it goes right to the same thing of not curing any diseases. Why would you get rid of something that causes so many diseases and it helps the medical field make so much money? I mean, there is so much money made from smokers. There really is.
There's a multitude of diseases. Cigarettes is the most addictive drug known to man. It's even more addictive than heroin, okay?
We inhale arsenic. I mean...
Not to mention thousands of other chemicals, yes.
Yes, but, I mean, in my... And the hardest part for me is, in my industry, being that I inhale so many carcinogens in a day working on customers' cars, You know, people that come in and their car is burning oil or it's running too much gas and I'm inhaling all this all day long. So like the old-time firefighters, they smoked because of how much they take in. We go out into the fresh air, it hurts to breathe because we're in those chemicals all day long. You know, chlorofluorocarbons, I inhale them all day. Chlorine in liquid form, I inhale it all day. You know, so then I go out in the fresh air and it's like...
You don't know how to handle yourself, yes.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of, unfortunately, there's a lot of money to be made all the way around, from the purchasing of the cigarettes to the healthcare industry to the insurance agency, I mean, insurance portion of it as well. You know, everybody's got their hands in the cookie jar. And to be quite honest with you, I would not be too opposed if we were allowed to have the tools at our disposal. You know, that we take a more Asian approach. You know, Asians, then you only pay your doctors.
I ask you this,
doctor. When you're healthy.
I ask you this, doctor. Why don't you do your own research and tell your patients about these options?
Well, because of malpractice issues, number one. Number two, there has to be antiquated, you know, unequivocal data to support a lot of this. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't use alternative medicine for a lot of it, or even the placebo effect. You know, you'd be surprised how powerful the placebo effect is on a lot of issues. But there is a sense of accountability, as well as, you know, there is specific guidelines that have to be followed. It's you go through training, you go through school, you go, right. You know, once you get out, get licensed, it's all the same.
Hold on, who are these guidelines set up by?
Of course, it's set up by the government. But if you want to be paid by, see, it's all rigged. If you want to be paid by insurance companies, then you have to abide by the guidelines that are set in accordance with the FDA. It has to be set by the AMA. It has to be set in accordance with, the medicine period as far as Western medicine is concerned. And unfortunately, until the system changes, either doctors have to go to a point of holistic medicine, which means that insurance companies will not and do not pay, which means you have to, you know, charge a cash fee only for it, which some doctors have done, but it's few and far between. I mean, typically you have to live on, you know, in Greenwich Village in New York or anywhere in California in order to make, you know, a livelihood. So the whole system is rigged to push these medications that simply
I'm gonna
sustain life, not cure disease.
I'm going to send you a link between me and you. And I want you. This is one of my customers, okay? And he is an actual doctor, and he is a holistic medicine person.
Medicine person, okay. Yep. He's a shaman. He's a shaman.
No. But he owns 5 clinics in our area. He has a 40-acre pot farm.
Okay. Which, you know, unfortunately, marijuana is not legal in either state, although it is on the ballot of one.
It is medically here. You can have your medical card here.
Correct.
But yeah, I work on. In fact, I'm not going to say his name, but the Unimog that you see on my business's base page, okay, that's his. The tractor we did that we painted yellow and everything, and put the airbrush pot leaf and "What's Up Doc" on it. That was on my Facebook page also. That's his. I mean, I do a lot of his cars and stuff. The man makes bank. I'm telling you. I mean,
he has the benefit of having, you know, medical marijuana being legal where you're at, which, you know, we've talked about it on the show. Well, there is a limitless supply of medical reasons for marijuana use.
Right.
You know?
But even before it was legal, he's not only an actual licensed doctor, but he's also a holistic medical person.
Understand.
So he actually kind of splits that hair between his medical have to do this and up the government, I'm going to tell my patients the truth and you can do this. And yeah, he does really great.
And like I said, I would love to be able to not have the constraints that we have here in this area in order for us to be able to do a lot of this stuff.
Well, sir, that takes medical people like you to stand up and tell the truth.
Well, I mean, we do. We scream it all the time. I mean, it's on a ballot here in my area in one of the states simply because of some of the work that I've done and some of the people that I've worked with as well. You know, but trying to get it in a Republican predominant state, which is the one that my clinic is in, that's a whole different nightmare. But eventually will, particularly when you have the state right next door, which is always competing rivalry between the two. And the state right next door is able to do what Colorado has done, which is, show profitability and show this, particularly when Governor Brownback is in a bit of a pickle for the financial disarray that he has governed the state of Kansas into. So, there's hopes for being able to provide more avenues for that, but it still boils down to, I'm not quite sure how the Michigan laws go, but I can almost guarantee you as far as insurance is concerned, they don't reimburse for holistic medicine.
No.
So he's a cash only business, which there are people that do that, and they do okay for themselves. They do well for themselves. But
he does both. He does, and if he honestly believes that the holistic medicine is better for the person than the prescription, sometimes he will even just donate the medicine.
Right. Well, unfortunately, I'm not able to find a the article that I was reading from somebody like
anywhere once they get to know him.
Okay, so no one likes Ted Cruz. Mr. Trump, a rebuttal.
I really do. I'd like Ted Cruz a lot.
Okay. Right out of the gate, there's a strong difference of opinion between our one candidate. Okay, the next question is for you, Donald. How do you feel about the people of Iowa and your chances with them?
I love Iowa. We've done really well here.
All right, fairly stated. Mr. Trump, your thoughts.
How stupid are the people of Iowa?
We will find out on Monday. Now, gentlemen, if either of you win this nomination, you're likely to go up against Hillary Clinton. How do you assess her foreign policy experience?
Hillary Clinton was the worst Secretary of State in the history of the United States.
Worst in history? Huh. Mr. Trump, your thoughts?
Hillary Clinton, I think, is a terrific woman. I mean, I'm a little biased because I've known her for years. I think she really works hard, and I think she does a good job, and I like her.
That is a strong endorsement of Hillary Clinton from Donald Trump. That's got to hurt her in the polls. Now, for this next portion of the debate, we're going to go and take questions from everyday Americans who are watching. Our first one comes from a Megan Kay who lives in 2011. Megan, what is your question?
Do you really think that you're a better moderator than I am?
No, I could never beat you. That wouldn't even be close. There would be no contest. You have done a great job, by the way, and I mean it.
That's a very positive message. How about you, Donald?
I have zero respect for Megyn Kelly. I don't think she's very good at what she does. I think she's highly overrated.
Now, I must warn you, sir. I must warn you to be careful, Mr. Trump. In the past, when you've turned against a woman that way, she ends up with half your assets. Now, Donald, if you yourself are elected, who can we expect to see in your cabinet?
We're going to have the smartest, the best negotiators in the world, and I know most of them. And believe me, I know people you never heard of who are better than the ones that you did hear of.
That is an impressive list of no information. Now, I'll give you a chance here, Mr. Trump. Who do you have in mind for your cabinet?
Together, Grimace, we can own this thing.
Mr. Trump, it is nice to see you finally reach out to a person of color. Well, all right then. Donald, thank you so much. It's been a great debate. It's been a great debate. Donald, Mr. Trump, I want to thank you both for being here tonight. For your final statements, you each have 5 seconds. What is the one thing you would like the American people to know about you?
Believe me, I understand steaks. It's my favorite food.
And may I say, sir, you are yourself impressively marbled. Mel, Donald, your final statement.
If Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her.
Voters do like a family man. Well, that concludes the Late Show's 2016 Top Tremendous All You Can Trump Luxury Presidential Debate. I want to thank Donald Trump for being just as divided as this country is.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, I can't find this article, unfortunately.
You know, I'm just going to say, if Ivanka wasn't his daughter, I'd probably be dating her, too.
I don't think you really care.
Because she'd be a stripper. You don't, never mind.
No, I mean, I've seen her, so I mean, I know who she is.
Yeah, if she didn't have Donald Trump as a father with billions and billions of dollars, she'd probably be a stripper.
Yeah, well, there'll be some videos of her coming out soon, I'm sure. As there are with most of them.
Yeah, I made sure I'm edited out of them.
Oh, that's right, because she's a stripper and you like strippers. Yeah, I get that now. So what are we talking about tonight? We had the Iowa caucus come up.
I don't know what I'm even looking for in my desk, man. I'm not looking for anything, but yet I'm rooting through my damn desk. What the hell am I looking for? I don't know.
You're looking for that Satan stick. That's what you're looking for.
I don't have any. That's the thing. Well, and I just
isn't that special? Smoking a Satan stick. It's now the romp of the park with the Beastmaster. I'm going to do my superior dance.
The taser uses compressed gas to fire two small darts attached to copper wires. When they pierce the skin, the electric current flows through the body, seizing up the muscles and sending the suspect crashing to the ground, screaming in pain.
That helped.
I'm glad that helped. Unfortunately, I am not able to find, because I do not know what the NSA has done, not only with my pages I had up, but also with the actual article itself, because I know where the article came from, but even on their site, I cannot find it. So, moving on.
Sorry, push my button real quick. You can keep going. I'm going to push my button for a second.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. So, so we've had the Iowa caucuses. We know that that Hillary stole it with 6 very lucky flips of a coin for the Democratic side. She got those caucus points. And I don't know why Bernie's even bothering for a count, considering the fact that the history has shown us that recounts don't help jack squat, even when the numbers come out the same.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be a voice for acupuncturing for quitting smoking, because when I said I had to push my button, what it is, I won't be able to show you. I had 10 needles in my ears. It's for anti-addiction, okay? 10 little needles.
See how we sidetrack, listeners? See how we get sidetracked? But go ahead, continue.
Trying to help you.
I appreciate that, thank you. I don't know what you're helping me with, but go ahead.
Because you said you didn't have a statistical fact of this. Anyways.
That was a conversation before the show. The listeners don't know we were talking about that. We can talk about that after the show.
No, we can't. We talk about it now.
Okay, go ahead.
Because
go ahead.
It's in my brain.
All right, everybody bear with me, because eventually I'll get to a point about tonight's show. Go ahead, Cal.
But, so 5 needles in each ear.
Joy.
And you kind of meditate.
And we had three in the right testicle, 1 in the left, and 4 in the penis, right?
And that was just extra. That was just for grins and giggles. That actually doesn't actually help you stop, you know. I mean, because a cigarette is a phallus symbol, you know. It's a round cylinder thing you stick in your mouth and you suck on it, you know, like a phallus.
You know why it's round? Because you can't roll a square.
Ah, okay, go ahead. Continue.
Anyways, so after all the acupuncture...
Should have seen some of my weeds back in college. Anyways, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you get that? Loki, could you imagine Issa high? Oh, my God. Think about it. Think about the ramifications on that one.
Well, let's just say that the Empire State Building will never be the same.
Come along, come along. Issa took a hit from the bung.
Continue with your five needles and,
anyways,
and ears and
anyways,
partridge in a pear tree.
And honestly, I'm going to tell you, I could literally feel when she was putting the needles into the certain points in my ears.
I bet you could. Those are needles going in fresh, but continue. Go ahead.
Actual relief, you know, kind of releasing in my body. I felt...
Yeah. Release some fluid, huh?
Well, no, because it's... okay. It's release of your chi. And you can actually... You do feel it when the needles hit certain points... You can feel the tension relax in your body, and you can...
Now, you call it chi. Now, that starts with a C, but I'm thinking of another word that starts with C that gets released. Well, go ahead, continue. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the interruption. Please forgive me. Please forgive. Please forgive. I'm sorry.
I haven't used this button in a long time.
Go ahead. Continue with your releasing of the C.
That button is marked kill Issa.
Are you done?
This button is not to be confused with my normal one. No, this one is specifically for Issa. Do you know why?
Because one's an M16, the other one's an
AR-15. Yes, exactly. Much larger caliber.
You got to come big if you're coming to me. Just letting you know.
I'll go get a battleship and bring it up the Mississippi.
Well, this is what you're kind of sounding like what's happening to you today. So continue with long things getting shoved into your body.
No, they're not long. They're only about that damn big. They're like
an inch. Okay. All right. All right, you like the small ones. Okay,
you are about the most perverted Muslim out there today.
I am not saying anything. I am on with the story. I, your mind is taking it to the gutter. Yeah, well, you can. I'm just. We can move on.
I win. Anyways. After the treatment, you know, I showed you the herbs that they gave me for anxiety. But there was one other thing. Behind each ear on a certain...
Hey, is one of those ground-up deer penis?
No.
You know, for your yang? To help your yang?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Golden Child, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. All right. Just continue, please. Don't allow me to interrupt again.
Okay, Eddie Murphy. Would you stop?
There you go. Now we're on the same page. All right, okay. So no ground deer penis. No. Good.
But
continue.
Behind my ears, at certain pressure points, is little BBs on medical tape so that they'll stay behind my ear. So when I actually have a craving, like I've been fidgeting for like the last 20 minutes through my desk rifling, and I realize, okay, I need to hit the button, so to speak. So I reach back and I pinch.
And you pleasure yourself.
No, you don't do it hard.
It's soft, okay?
Well, you just give it a light pinch, and what it does is because of the pressure point that it's on, it actually, you can feel like the wave of release over you, and the anxiety is kind of calmed.
Okay, do me a favor. Whenever you feel like you need to release, and I'm doing my bunny ears here for you, please don't share. We don't really care when you need to release and when you need to pinch and when you need to poke or prod, okay? Yeah, I see that. I'm just saying.
You in full retard, man.
That button's for you on that one there, buddy. So, all right. So we're done with Cowell's description of mastication.
I was trying to help you out, doctor.
Well, go press a button or something that's not on your keyboard. The one that's behind your ear or behind your testicle, your testicle sack. All right, there you go. So anyways, moving on. I don't even know what we were talking about tonight, to be honest with you. I mean, we've talked about the caucus. You know, we talked about Cruz sneaking up from behind and pressing Trump's buttons that are on the back of his ears. And we've talked about Clinton, and I was really interrupted by the NSA when I was giving Jill Stein's platform, but I promise I will find it and I will post it on our Facebook page. But you need to question, you know, what options do we really have? And this is one of the things that I discuss with a lot of people, though, is that some people find it hard to understand why this next election cycle is so important. And Cal and I have talked about this before. You know, there are several hundred seats up for grab this election. It's not just the presidential election in November. There are several hundred lawmaker positions, 492, I think. Is that what it is?
I think you're right on that.
Yeah, 492, 494, something like that. These are the actual lawmakers. What's sad is, and we've talked about this before, is the fact that we look at last year's election when it came to lawmakers, and the state that had the largest turnout was Texas of 30% of registered voters.
I have a question, though. Why is it that when a person hits 65 years old in the work industry, he's told he's supposed to retire? Mm-hmm. But yet, of these 492 seats that are open, three quarters of them are held by men that are 70 and 80 freaking years old that have done 50 years in the their job.
Most of them were Klansmen 50 years ago. When
exactly.
They
joined the... Why the fuck are you people still letting them stay there? Vote
because
them fuck
of
out.
All the fringe benefits. Where else are you going to get the Cadillac of Cadillac health care?
No. I'm talking to the voters. Why the hell would you let the same person, when all the problems going on, why vote the same fucking old fart back into his goddamn seat he's been in for 40 fucking years? Make a fucking change. Get him the fuck out of there.
You need to play the American song you were just playing for me, because that, sir, was a bona fide rant.
As a public service, we're going to do a quick check of your radio dial. Most liberal of... No. Music fool to death. I don't even know what that is. Okay, you're good. We can say without a doubt you're listening to the right station.
You're listening to AMAC Radio Network.
I'm sorry, I felt I should have played that right after I had a blast.
That was perfect. That was actually great timing, I might add. But you make a good point.
Shows the stupidity of America. 84 fucking percent of fucking morons. That's why we still have 84% of the
All right, push your button. Push your button. You just took us from PG to rated R. You're about to take us to X-rated.
Fuck them!
All right, we're X-rated now. We got butt naked midgets on the screen. Great. All right, listen.
I'm bringing the peanut butter.
Just leave the Badgers at home. So
they got a mind of their own, buddy.
So anyways, as Mr. I need a cigarette because he's having a nicotine withdrawal fit right now, but he makes a valid, very valid, passionate point right there. And the point is simply this, is that when election season after election season after election season goes by, and yet you can have a House and a Senate that has approval ratings in the teens, but yet you wonder why they keep getting their job? Very simple answer. Because
you
of the fact
keep
they,
voting them back in.
No, that's the problem. They're not voting them back in. People are not showing up to the polls when it comes to lawmakers. This is the problem. The state of Texas had 30% of their registered voters actually show up to vote last year. And this is not anything new. This is a continuous
problem. So when you have the same 30% of registered voters who voted those same buttheads in last time are the exact same ones showing up, but 70% who do not like them are not showing up to the polls, there lies your problem. Now, that's the largest one. When you start to hop around the country and you start looking at the percentages, in my state, 17% of the registered voters showed up, and they were all in my district. I could see them all. I mean, that way out of the entire state. You know, literally, that was all that showed up. So when you have people not showing up for that, but
let me put it this way, they go show up for presidential elections. Let me just spew this out here, sir.
And oh, yeah, please do.
I'm going to just start at the top. Dianne Feinstein, California, born June 22nd, 1933. Date of taking office, November 10th, 1992. Has served for 59 years and is 82 years old for the state of California. Chuck Graisley, Iowa, born September 17, 1933, taking date of office January 3rd, 1981, has been there 47 years, length of Senate term 35 years, he's 82 years old. Utah, Orrin Hatch, your son of a bitch is 81 years old, has been there for 39 freaking years. 39 years! Richard Shelby from Alabama, Senator, has been at his job in Senate for 29 years. He's 81 years old. He should be sitting on a freaking recliner with a shawl complaining it's too goddamn cold in 90-degree weather.
Well, here's the thing, though. They don't actually... This is the other side of the problem. It is a cush job. Remember when we first started the show... I brought on an interview that I had done from my old show, Real Political Talk with Issa. He was a guy that I had on there, and I brought on to this show some of the stuff that we had talked about. And he was an ex-congressman out of North Dakota, and he was a Democrat.
Senator.
And he said back then, he was saying that out of 365 days a year, they're actually only in session 110 days a year. And even when they're there, hold on, I'm going to let you get to that. Even when they're there, those 110 days, I know you're biting at the bit. Calm down. Push your buttons. Play with your, rub them. Rub your nub. Rub your nub. Rub your nub. Rub your nub. There you go. Even when they're in session, half of the day, or even sometimes even more than half of the day, is spent across the street from Capitol Hill in phone banks, soliciting lobbyists for more campaign donations, that they're actually only 3 or 4 hours a day of those 110 days a year actually in session legislating any laws.
Pat Roberts!
he couldn't even hold it. He's like, that's it, I'm done.
Pat Roberts, 79 years old and has spent 60 years in politics, 19 years in the Senate. We're going to go on from there. Senator John McCain, 79 years old, 50 years in politics, 29 years in the Senate. Get him the fuck out of there! And the one and only...
I would appreciate in the future if you're going to go on these tirades that if you would add a disclaimer to gently pull the children away from the headphones.
No, they need to hear it.
Just in the future.
No,
they need to hear it, but they don't need to hear the blah, blah, blah.
Bernie Sanders!
103 years old!
74 years old, has been in politics 65 years. Been in the Senate 9 years. Do you honestly think this is an honest motherfucker if he's been in the goddamn Senate for 65, or politics for 65 years? Vote his ass out. I'm done. I can't go on. It just keeps going, dude. I mean, yeah. 66 years.
So this kind of brings up to, you know, a conversation that we've had before, as well as, you know, one that I was having today, is that, you know, change, this is a system that has been systematically put in over time. It doesn't change overnight without a revolution, without a violent revolution, all right? But a peaceful revolution can happen with change
if people actually educated themselves who is running for these House and Senate seats this coming next election, okay? And actually go to the polls and vote and stay away from the two-party paradigm, period. If there's any message that needs to be brought out tonight, find somebody in the Libertarian Party, the Constitutional Party, the Green Party. There's a lot of other parties. There's a lot of other people. Gary Johnson, for example, is running. You know, Jill Stein is running. I mean, there are a lot of other people that are running for president that are not a part of the two-party paradigm, nor are they a part of the courtocracy that you have, this oligarchy system that we now find ourselves in, where they're getting money from super PACs. Now, I know you Bernie Sanders are going to sit there and say, oh, well, Bernie isn't. Yes, Bernie is, too. Who do you think paid when he was for his Iowa caucus, his little rally he had? Who do you think was paying for that?
I'm sorry.
Citizens United?
I'm sorry. If you have been in politics for 65 years of your life...
There's some corporations giving you money.
You're tainted. Yeah. Plain and simple. You're fucking tainted. And so stop lying about it.
Think about this. On a level head here, think about this. If we're able to go in and change these 490 seats, that is enough to actually start to implement. And we go, and we don't put in these Democrats. We don't put in these Republicans. We put in these Libertarians. We put in these Green Party. We put in these third-party people, okay? We put in Scooby-Doo for all that matters. But we can actually begin to start to create some laws such as, oh, I don't know, term limits for congressmen and senators.
Ooh, so, that'd be brilliant.
So that they're actually made accountable for the laws that they pass because they become citizens again.
So each of their terms is 2 years. I say, point blank, no more than 4 terms. That's 8 years. That's the same as a president gets, at most.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. But in order for us to do that, we have to push out there.
Button. Oh.
We actually have to take advantage of this. Everybody's hyping up the presidency. Yes, the presidency is important, but the president, people, listen, get close to your microphone, get close to your speakers, your phones, turn them up, whatever, listen to me. The president does not make laws. They have the power to veto. And they have the power to sign a law. They do not have the power to write the law.
Hold on. You're forgetting one power the president has.
You talking about the executive order?
Hello.
Okay, but the executive order can be turned over by a majority rule in the Senate, which then would go to the people for vote. But they never exercise that right.
I know.
They never exercise it. You know why they never exercise it? Is because of the fact is they're all playing for the same team.
Yeah, it's like watching the Super Bowl and everybody's on one end.
Exactly. Okay, now before the game, they were all playing like they were on opposite teams, talking tough to one another. Yeah, I'm gonna sack you, and I'm gonna run a corner, I'm gonna run a touchdown, and I'm gonna dedicate it to your mama. Your mama, not my mama, your mama, because that's how cold I am. And then once the game starts, all of a sudden you just see one group of people running from one end of the football field to the other end, scored a touchdown, running back to the other end, and there's no opposition at all. This is exactly what it's like. Now, Loki has been getting skipped, so we're going to let our producer in now for his idiot of the week, but I think we've already done it. But I'm going to go ahead. We're going to let him in. He's been missed the last few weeks.
You know who the idiot of the week and my vote is? The American people. Dumb motherfuckers.
I think I like you with cigarettes better, to be honest with you. You have a way cleaner show.
Up yours!
Yeah, I know, buddy. I'll give you a hug. Here's a virtual hug. Yeah, I know you love me. Go ahead, Loki. We're running out of time.
Well, with our country going upside down, we have yet another instance of that. Man who attacked Uber driver while drunk files $5 million lawsuit. Man caught on camera assaulting an Uber driver is now suing the victim for recording the attack without his permission and for emotional distress. A former Taco Bell corporate manager who was captured on video drunkenly attacking his Uber driver is now suing the driver $5 million. claiming that the recording was made without his consent, according to court documents. Benjamin Gordon, 32, of Newport Beach, said the now viral video, which was taken by the dashboard-mounted camera and posted to YouTube by the driver, was recorded unknowingly and without his permission.
All right, hold it right there. Loki, Issa, we're going to fix America one person at a time. You guys go line them up, and I'm going to take care of them with this goddamn thing right here.
Is that a large stick?
No, it's the world's largest paint mixing stick. And I'm going to smack the shit out of people until they get some damn sense in their head.
All right, moving on. Continue, Loki. We're just going to pretend like we didn't hear that.
Unknowingly and without his permission while he was intoxicated, and was an invasion of his privacy, according to the Orange County Superior Court records. The driver, Edward Caban, sued Gordon in November, claiming the assault, battery, and infliction of emotional distress. Gordon filed his $5 million lawsuit last month, saying the video, which was viewed millions of times, caused him severe emotional distress, humiliation, anxiety, and the loss of his employment and the ability to get another job. Gordon was fired from his position as the marketing manager for Taco Bell. Posting the video online was...
Of course extreme. He's a fast food employee. Of course.
Was extreme.
He was just pissed off. He's not getting $15 an hour. Fucking moron.
Please, Loki, talk over him. Stop. Just keep talking.
Posting the video online was extreme as to exceed all bounds of the usually tolerated in the civilized community, Gordon's lawsuit said.
What it was is he watched the damn video, saw how much of an idiot he was, and was upset that everybody else in America knew he was an idiot now.
He is now blaming everybody else and not taking responsibility for his conduct, Morrill said.
Blame everyone else.
I don't buy it, and I think it will make him look even worse than he already does.
Yeah, he'll get $15 an hour now.
So what's the deal with the people attacking Uber drivers? You know, there was another case of a neuroscientist, a neurologist or a neuroscientist, one of the two, in New York, where she just broke up with her boyfriend and she was drunk and she attacked and even got in the guy's car, started pulling all his stuff out, throwing it out. And she was on Good Morning America or something, apologizing for it, that she lost her job. I mean, I thought this Uber thing was a good thing. Why are people attacking Uber drivers? I get it.
But, you know, it's just further proof that just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you're intelligent.
Hey, remember, C equals MD.
D's are passing.
That's right.
So next week, we're going to actually discuss a sheriff who says that meth and heroin aren't the culprit. It's marijuana that makes people violent.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
All right.
It's a lack of,
I would like to add a disclaimer here for Cal's behavior. Normally he...
It's a lack of cigarettes that make people violent.
It's cigarettes that make you, the lack of cigarettes that make you violent. Hopefully by next week, this is just his first day. I think maybe today was the wrong day to stop, but maybe, I don't know. Hopefully by next week, our buddy Cal will be a bit more calm and reserved in his demeanor and comments.
If I'm not in prison by then.
If he's not committed murder by then, that's right. That's why I'm glad I live in a different state, because I'm sure by now he would have already gotten up off his chair, gotten to his truck, and been pounding on my door as we speak.
Hey, you know, earlier, actually, I was going to send you a picture of my gas gauge that said full, and I was going to make a comment of, this will get me to your front door.
So, anyways... So what have we learned tonight? That quitting smoking is good, but the lack of nicotine in certain people's membranes
bad.
Turns them into, angry mechanics. So
I blame the Irish side of me. I don't have any alcohol to compensate.
Yeah, it's the Irish side of him. See, that's what the cigarettes did. It calmed the Irishness in him.
Yeah.
So now the Irishness is honestly, out.
That's actually outro. That's actually true, though, because I even noticed at work today, even my guys, you know, without my cigarettes, I'm walking, talking, acting twice as fast as I normally do. But if I have my cigarettes, I calm down, my brain slows down, and I can actually do better.
Good, good. And it'll get easier, so keep it up.
But now I'm like a hamster on fucking crack. I'm like,
now hopefully our listeners, they'll probably like you even more. So, more than likely, especially with these groups of nuts we have listening to us, because, I mean, who else would listen to us but other crazy people as crazy as us?
I'm going
to
go do 10 pounds of heroin to calm down, please.
There you go. All right, so listen, guys, you know, make sure that you're researching these seats that are coming up for election this year, not just focus on just the president, but also need to be focusing on these seats in both the House and the Senate that are coming up. We have an opportunity to make a big change here.
Me without cigarettes is the equivalent of Dave Champion.
And at the same time, make sure you do your research. Make sure you fact check on these people, especially if they're ex-politicians. Look at the stuff that they've voted on before. And in fact, maybe we should just favor those that have never been politicians before, because ultimately that's what our founding fathers did. Well, we're not politicians.
Ted Robbins has only been in the Senate for a year, but he's been in politics for 40 years. So it took him 40 years to become a senator. You think he's going to get out anytime soon? Hell no, unless you vote him out.
That's it for us tonight, guys. Hopefully we'll see you guys next week. If Cal is not... I'll be here just to let you know that he's in prison. Cal, any other... words of wisdom and lovely, you know, cuddledness, or I can't even think. You've got me so discombobulated.
Hey, what do you think? This world is full of pink fluffy bunnies, buddy. It's a hard truth we're living in.
I think you just need to go pick up crack.
I think you might be right.
All right, guys. Hopefully, we'll see you guys next week. Stay tuned. Check us out on our Facebook page. Also, you know, check out our website. There's more than just us talking nonsense here to each other, talking truth. You know, we also have some articles on there. We have some videos, interviews, lectures, different things like that. And then check out our Facebook page as well. Make sure you hit that like and share, because you need to share information. Don't be stingy with it, okay?
All right. That time again.
60 seconds.
Try to get this out as peacefully as I can.
God, there's only 60 seconds left.
I'm trying to get this out peacefully, Issa.
And you've only got 45 seconds.
We want to thank you all for listening again. And as always, go screw yourselves.
That ain't what you say. You always say we love you.
And good freaking night.